Well, good morning and welcome to worship on this Sunday during the Christmas season. It may have started on the 25th, but we continue to celebrate the birth of God's love in the world. Good morning and welcome to worship at West End. We're delighted that you're here as we continue to celebrate Christmas, the season of Christmas. If you're visiting for the first time, we're especially pleased that you're here. Some of you may be with family. Some of you may have just shown up because you wanted a place to celebrate and continue to reach out toward the wonder of God's love born among us in the flesh. We welcome you. We hope you'll come back. Those of us who are here each week will try to seek you out and shake your hand, but if we don't get to you soon enough, you come introduce yourselves to us, because we want to know that you're here, and if you're a resident of Nashville, we'd love it if you'd make your home with us. If you look in your bulletin insert, there are lots of ways that you can be involved in this congregation. I'm going to lift up just a few. First of all, you may have heard the term covenant discipleship, but have no idea what that means. Well, there is a little notice in our bulletin insert, but there are two folks in Reed Hall who, after the service, would love to tell you about covenant discipleship. You'll be hearing more about that in the coming weeks. But if you'd like to get a head start on that, on your way out, go through Reed Hall, stop in and talk to these folks. Their lives have been changed by this process, and I know yours would be too if you decided to go that route. We're coming to the end of the year, and the end of the year always means finishing up pledges and turning in money. You'll see a note about that as well. You can log on to westonumc.org/give. You can give online. You can drop a check in the mail. You can bring it by the church. If you do that and you want it counted for this year, it needs to be by the 31st. The church will be open till 4:30 on the 31st for you to drop that by. If you want to give appreciated securities, I know nothing about that really, but you can call Cindy Moore or you can get in touch with her at cmoore@westonumc.org and she can help you out with that. If you received a little note about finishing your pledge, don't feel bad. Margaret and I received one too. We thought we had finished and somehow it had slipped past us, so that gave us an opportunity to do that today and hopefully it will do the same for you. If you've never been to our Tuesday New Year's Eve service, you have missed a really significant way of walking through that transition between the old year and the new. It's a service of quiet prayer. It's a service of singing. It's a service of silence. It's a way to clear out all the stuff of the old year and prepare yourself for the coming of a new. If you would care to do that, that will take place in the gym downstairs, just as you came in the door from the parking lot, on December 31st at 6:30, and our Tuesday team will be delighted to welcome you to that. 6:30, December 31st. Also, in observance of New Year's Day, the church offices and the preschool will be closed on Wednesday. God came to us as one of us, to walk among us, to show us the full extent of God's love for each and every one of us. Thanks be to God.
Oh. child has been given to us, and his name shall be called
Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace.
Once we were not people.
Now we are God's people.
Once we walked in darkness.
Now we have seen the great light.
Through our confession, we recognize our failings and our need for the unconditional love of God. Let us make our confession before God and one another. Holy God, you offer us new life in the baby at Bethlehem, but we confess that we have made something trivial, something sentimental out of Christmas. Your light comes into the world, and we see only the pretty lights on the trees. You shine in the darkness, but we turn away from the darkness of our world and miss you. Your word is made flesh, but we would like something nicer, more spiritual than the humanity of God with us in the flesh. Forgive us, generous God, for the casual way we treat your gift of love. Cast out our sin. Venture in. Be born in us today. Hear the good news of the gospel. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. Your sins are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. As we come to hear the scriptures today, O Lord, stir up hearts up that we may welcome your incarnate Son. By his coming, give us strength in our conflicts and shed light on our path, that we may walk in the way that leads to eternal life. Through Jesus, our Lord. Amen. a lesson from the gospel. Now, after they left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated. And he set out and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel. For those who are seeking the child's life are now dead." Then Joseph got up. He took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in the place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. After being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. He will be called a Nazarene. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Please be seated, and if there are youngsters who would care to come down, please come on down. This is the third year that on the Sunday after Christmas, instead of having the traditional sermon, I have written a story for the children, which I read to them, and you all get to listen in. You get to overhear the story. And so if there are youngsters who would care to come down and sit down front, we would love that. But we know we're all children of God. No matter where you sit, you'll be able to hear. Hi, come down and join us. Before I start this story, I need to say that the idea for it came from my friend John Nance, who is a regular at our Tuesday 7 a.m. Bible study. And John, at one point, as we were studying these texts coming up toward Christmas, asked, what about the angel Rufus? Thought, well, I never heard of an angel called Rufus, but what a wonderful name for one. So I created the story about Rufus, the apprentice angel. Rufus was an apprentice angel. That means he was studying to be an angel, someone who delivered messages for God. His teacher was an experienced and well-known messenger of God named Gabriel. There were really only two classes required for student angels. First, Rufus took classes in listening so he could be sure and get the message right. Messages from God were so important that they had to be delivered correctly or things might go terribly wrong. Second, angels took classes in speaking. The messages had to be delivered in a voice loud and strong enough that said, this is important, but a voice that was kind enough so that it didn't scare the wits out of the people receiving the messages. The first messages that Rufus got to deliver were for other younger angels. These were messages like, do your homework, or pick up your toys, or eat your broccoli. He learned that some angels would respond to the message immediately, while others didn't even seem to be paying attention. With those who weren't listening, sometimes he repeated the message. If they still didn't do what they were supposed to do, he would raise his voice and ask, are you listening to me? What he learned from all this was that he had no control over whether someone to whom he delivered a message did what they were told to do. He could not even assure that they were listening. Gabriel taught him, your job is simply to deliver the message. It's their job to do what they're supposed to do. Still, it bothered Rufus when angels just ignored the instructions he brought them. His next step in learning to become an angel was to go with his teacher and stand in the background while Gabriel, the more experienced angel, delivered a message to humans. Once he was invited by Gabriel to come with him to a place called Jerusalem. His teacher told Rufus that as a student, he was to stand hidden in the shadows and be perfectly quiet because they were going to a room where very few humans ever enter, a place set aside for nothing but the worship of God. When they arrived, the room was filled with smoke that smelled strong but not unpleasant. Gabriel called the smoke incense and said that the people thought of their prayers rising to God just like the smoke from the incense rose toward the ceiling. Rufus stood hidden in the darkness of the shadows and tried to keep from coughing because of all the smoke. Across the hazy room, he could just barely see a man with a gray beard wearing a long robe. Rufus overheard Gabriel telling the human, whose name he learned was Zechariah, that he and his wife, who was named Elizabeth, were going to have a child. Gabriel even told him what the name of his child was to be. It was to be John. Rufus would have thought that the man would have been happy to get this news, but he acted like he didn't believe it. He told Gabriel that he and his wife were too old to have children. Rufus could tell that this man, doubting the truth of the message, upset Gabriel, since he was an angel who was used to be taken seriously. So Gabriel told the man that since he had doubted, he would not be able to speak until all that Gabriel had told him came true. On their way home, Gabriel confided in Rufus that he wasn't really in the habit of punishing humans when they didn't believe one of his messages, but in this case, he just couldn't help himself. After all, the message wasn't telling the man he had to do something difficult or that something terrible was going to befall him. Gabriel had given him good news, which was supposed to be received with great joy rather than doubt. Some people just weren't even able to receive good news graciously. About 6 months later, as humans count time, Gabriel invited Rufus to go with him on another journey, this time to a town that the young angel had never heard of. A place called Nazareth. They were going to visit a young girl, so Gabriel wanted to be especially careful not to frighten her. As the older angel entered the girl's room, Rufus was given instructions to stand just outside the door so he could listen to what was being said without being seen himself. Gabriel greeted the girl as if she were a queen and assured her that she need not be afraid of him. The news he gave this young girl, whose name Rufus learned was Mary, was similar to that he had told the old man. She was going to have a baby too. Rufus was beginning to wonder if all angels did was travel around the world delivering birth announcements. This Mary was clearly surprised to hear the news, since she was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, but they were not married yet. Still, the girl said that she would do whatever God asked her to do. Then Gabriel told her that Elizabeth was going to have a baby too, and Mary didn't seem to have any trouble believing it. Now, that's the proper way to receive a message from God, Gabriel told his apprentice afterwards. But now, I have a surprise for you. Do you remember the man Mary was engaged to? Joseph, Rufus answered. The student angel wanted to be sure that his teacher knew that he had been listening carefully. That's correct, his teacher said, smiling. When he hears that Mary is going to have a baby before they're married, he will be very upset. He won't know whether he should marry her or not. Someone is going to have to tell him that everything is going to be okay, and that someone is you. Do you think I'm ready to let a human see me? Said Rufus. No, Gabriel replied, not just yet. But you are ready to speak to a human in a dream. Like his ancestor called Joseph, you will speak to this Joseph in a dream and tell him that it is just fine to marry Mary, and that the child she's going to have is a very special child who will show the world God's love for all people. He is, Rufus questioned. God's love for all people? That's right, explained Gabriel. You see, it's the job of every human to show some of God's love to some people, the people they meet and come to know during their time on earth. This child, however, will grow into someone who will not only tell people about God's great love for them, but by the way he lives, will show the whole world all of God's love for all people. Wow, this is a pretty special child, Rufus agreed. The most special ever born. And you are going to be the one who will tell that to Joseph. As the time came near for him to enter Joseph's dream and deliver the message, Rufus practiced exactly how he would word it. Joseph, do not be afraid to marry Mary. No, Mary, Mary sounded strange. Joseph, do not be afraid to wed Mary. Nah, that still wasn't right. Joseph, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child she is going to give birth to is a very special child who will show the world God's love for all people. Now that sounded right. So, Rufus delivered the message in Joseph's dream, and Joseph did marry Mary, and she did give birth to a child named Jesus, who truly did show in his words and in his life God's love for all people. Years later, when he was teaching apprentice angels of his own, it always gave Rufus great satisfaction that he was the one to deliver this message to Joseph, that he had played a part in delivering the most important message ever spoken. A short while later, Gabriel came to his apprentice and said, "You did well. So well, in fact, that I have other messages for you to deliver. There are some foreigners who read the stars and followed one particular star to see Jesus. On their way, they stopped to see a wicked king named Herod, who would harm the child if he could. Tell them to return to their home by a different way than the one by which they came, so they don't have to speak to Herod again. Then tell Joseph to take Mary and Jesus and leave the country until it's safe to return. Do you think you could deliver another couple of dream messages and tell them that?" Rufus felt sure that he could. The rest, my friends, is history. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for the many messages of love that you send us. We thanks for all the angels surrounding us, who show us and speak to us messages of your love. Sometimes those are parents, or believe it or not, brothers or sisters, our children, our friends, our colleagues, We thank you for being with us and for teaching us that your love is for all people, not just some. All of the time, not just some of the time. Help us to remember that and send us a message when we need it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all for coming down. One of the ways we receive the message of God's love is through our ancient creeds and modern creeds and affirmations. And so I'll invite you to stand as you're able, turn to number 883 in your hymnal, and join with me as we are reminded of the message of God's love and presence. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. We are so grateful that God's called us all together this morning for worship. You can feel the sense of assurance and anticipation of God's love being poured out anew in the world. If you're a guest, please join us for a time of fellowship out in Reed Hall, out these doors to your right. And if you're new to the community and this is your first visit, stop by the Bread for the Journey table out there and pick up a small gift in appreciation for you being here. We have gray prayer request cards in the pew rack in front of you. One side is for questions or comments for staff or lay leadership. The other side is for prayer concerns or joys. We invite you to complete those and place them in the offering plate when it comes around in just a moment. If you have not yet registered your attendance in the attendance pads, you can pass those down at this time. You'll find them on the inside of each pew. Look at those as they come by. Look at the names of the people who you worship with. Say hello to them. Get to know them after the service. That's an important part of being in a community. We also ask the last person on the inside of the pew who has those to go ahead and tear out the pages that are written on. That saves our hospitality people a great deal of time if they're already torn off of the pad. We have two announcements. Our hearts are extended to the family of Laura White, who died this past week. Graveside services will be held Tuesday at 2 o'clock. So we surround the White family with love. Laura was a longtime member, very active. And we extend our condolences and heartfelt prayer to the Bundy family. Kim Bundy's father, Don Jacobs, died yesterday in Bradenton, Florida. We don't have any details on the service, but and we just got word of this morning. So we want to hold that family in our prayers. Now let us turn our hearts and our minds toward prayer. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. God of love, your presence in our life is a gift undeserved. Each day, we want to live our lives actively open to your love for us and actively aware of your love for others. We often get so busy or get going so fast that we forget to remain open and aware, and sometimes beat ourselves up because we don't do it intentionally. Sometimes we can be so hard on ourselves that it does harm to us or to others. Remind us of your love. Make us aware of the nature of your love. Empower us to remain open and receptive at all times and in all places. Use us as channels of love toward our neighbors. Use us as beacons of light to those who are lost. Use us as a blessing to others so they might begin to realize the nature of your love for them. And in all places and in all things, keep our eyes open to the many undeserved and unwarranted gifts we receive every day. And now, join our voices, and we lift up the gift of life and hope taught to his disciples in these words. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and glory forever. Amen. Our 2014 Faithful Giving Campaign is off to a wonderful start, and we're very grateful. However, we still need to hear from many of you. If you've not yet pledged, we still have pledge cards in the pew racks. You can fill those out and put them in the offering plate or drop them off at the church. You can also pledge online on the church website. And in that spirit of contagious generosity, we continue to praise God by our tithes and our offerings.
Now I send you forth to share as much as you can of God's love with all that you meet, knowing that God, the source of all love, goes with you. Jesus Christ, God's love in the flesh among us, teaching us how to love, goes with you. And the Holy Spirit that empowers us to reflect that great love of God for all goes with you this day, this holy season, and forevermore. Go in peace.